I want to talk about the importance of baptism, because over time and all these years that I've known the Lord, I've heard people make these two mistakes, especially about baptism. Number one, people have the attitude like this: it really doesn't matter. Baptism is not a big deal. When I tell you, it is a big deal. Some say, well, I can be saved and not be baptized. Well, you can. You know, one of the greatest arguments that you've heard over the years is, well, the thief wasn't baptized and he went with Jesus to heaven. True. Now listen, you can't be saved and not be baptized, but you can't be obedient to him, because Jesus commanded that we be baptized. So we don't want to be disobedient. So it's very important. You say, then why haven't you baptized more? You know, we were baptizing all the time before COVID. So it's just one of those things where we had to get things together. And so now we've got things off the platform. We're ready to go. So next Sunday we'll go again. And hopefully we'll be able to baptize every month. Maybe even as you were saved. Okay, so your kids can, or whoever, your adults, just wear a pair of shorts under your church clothes or whatever, and a t-shirt for baptism. And we'll take care of that, and I'll be able to talk more to you about that. So I want you to turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 1 and verse 11. Mark chapter 1, and we will start at verse 11. It was the first thing that Jesus did when he started his ministry on earth. Very first thing. And it was the last thing he did before he went away. So if Jesus did anything first before he started his ministry, then I think it should be pretty sure to us that after we are saved and we are born again and we chose him as Lord, then we need to do and follow the model that Jesus gave us to follow. So in Mark chapter 1, I think we'll start at verse 1. Let me read about 11 verses. Mark chapter 1, verse 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets. Behold, I send your messenger before your face, who will prepare your way. He'll prepare your way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, make the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And John came, look, way before Jesus. John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And then all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and ate locusts and wild honey. Now, who would want a guy like that to baptize you? You guys have seen camels before. You know, camel hair is pretty coarse. And yet he dressed in that, had a leather belt to dress that suit up. And then he ate wild locusts and honey. And he preached, saying, there comes one, though, after me, who is mightier than I, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to stoop down and loose. I indeed baptize you with water, but he'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit. It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. And then a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So you can see here that Jesus put forth an effort to be baptized. Let me tell you something about being baptized, and you all know this. How many have been baptized in a house? Let me say to you, it's a very inconvenient. Jesus traveled 60 miles. We were in Israel. And it's about 60 miles from Galilee or Nazareth, where Jesus was, to go to the Jordan River. 60 miles, probably by foot. It doesn't tell us that he rode a horse, but by foot, 60 miles. So it was very inconvenient, but he went. And John was out there baptizing. Now everything was getting ready to change. John had been doing the baptism, and now he said, okay, now it's time for me to decrease. And the one coming after me, I'm just telling you folks, John said, I am not even worthy to carry his sandals. He's going to start baptizing, and he's going to increase after this time that he spends right here in this pool. Now, because Jesus got baptized in the Jordan, it was really a big deal for us when we went and we came to the Jordan River. And I'll never forget it. I wish Therma was here this morning. I don't think she is. Therma and Tony Lopez. Tony went to be with the Lord this year. And Therma says this to me. Pastor, are you going to go where Jesus was baptized? I said, oh yes, Therma, we are. And she says, would you just do me a favor? Would you just think of me while you're down there getting baptized, or you're getting close, think of me. I said, oh, Therma, I will. And I meant it. And so we are standing in this long line, and Sharon and I are going to get baptized. And so I guess the rest that was with us were heathen. But anyway, me and Sharon got baptized. No offense, Jeannie. Yeah. Or Kathy. But I'll tell you why I got baptized. Anyway, So we get down there, and I'm waiting in this line, and there's about 10 people, and I'm thinking, Therma, oh, Therma, I'm thinking of you. And so I got on the phone, and I called Therma and Tony. I called their number, and they didn't pick up. And so I left them a message. I said, hey, you guys, guess where I'm at? I'm at the Jordan River getting ready to be baptized, and Therma, I did not forget you. I'm thinking of you, and I'm going to bring you a little bottle of water from the Jordan, and I did that. But anyway, Kathy, show us that picture of the Jordan River. Kathy actually took a prettier picture than I did of it, but here's a picture of the Jordan. It's really not very big, but in the harvest season, it overflows its banks, and it's like a mile across when it overflows its banks. And then we went with Wayne Neal's church, the Landmark Church. By the way, if you're ever in Stratford, Missouri, right there by Springfield, you need to go to the Landmark Church. Wayne Neal was our evangelist, and he went home and founded a church after our order, and his church has surpassed us 3 times. It looks like a beautiful barn sitting out there on the highway. It's just amazing. And so we went with the Landmark Church from Missouri, and so I had Wayne Neal and Justin, his son-in-law, who's now the junior pastor, he baptized me. I said, I've got to get baptized here where Jesus got baptized. The only thing was, and I said all this to say, it was so inconvenient. I just hated it. I did want to get baptized, and it was just my plain old pride. I didn't want my hair to get wet, and I didn't want all those people to see my poof just get blown out. And so there I was, just like a wet puppy. And so, but everybody else was too. And then Sharon's going to get baptized, and I want to baptize her. Did you show the picture of me getting baptized? And then Sharon also got baptized. And I'm telling you, it's an experience that I'll never forget. And the little minnows were down in that Jordan River, and they were just, I don't know what you call it, they were just nipping at our legs and our feet. It was just gross. They're just eating us up out there, and you know, a little mouth probably couldn't do anything, but boy, you could feel it just nipping at you. So it was pretty miserable, but the blessing of the Lord was there, and I'm just telling you, and you ladies, listen, I don't get a $200 hairdo. You say, yeah, we know, Pastor. No, I just get a cut. And that cut usually costs me about $35, and whatever they do, I'm going to go home and redo it and put it in its place. And these vendors, they just jump back. I don't have to work them. They just, anyway. But some of you girls, you know, no telling how much you pay, like my daughter, to get that highlights in your hair. You know, it's a couple of hundred, 150, I don't know, it's a lot. But see, I know you girls don't want to get that hairdo and then come Sunday and get baptized. It's going to mess everything up, and you're going to look really funny, Laura. So it is a little inconvenient, but Jesus did it. And so I'll be grateful that I did that. I was baptized when I was 6 years old in the Tule River, and it was so freezing cold. We did all of our baptisms at the Tule River, and it was freezing cold, and I felt so prideful to say, oh, no, we have to have a heater for our baptismal. We've always had a heater. So I don't want you all being cold. And so we'll warm it up. And we were real religious in those days, or whatever you want to call it. And so my sister had painted my toenails red. And so when the pastor dunked me in the river, my little toes came up. I was 6 years old, and my toes came up, and everybody saw the red paint on my toes. And the pastor said, well, he said, we saw the paint on your toes. I said, okay. He said, we have to do it again. So if you wonder what's wrong with me, I come from a long line of it. But anyway, I got baptized then. Not saying you have to again, but I'm saying if you did go out into the world and come back, it might do good. Because let us find out why. Okay, so that's the first thing Jesus did. Man, I got way out there this morning, didn't I? So the first thing Jesus did was get baptized. But the last thing he did was commanded us, I want you to do it too. So let's look at Matthew 28. Please go over to Matthew 28. We're just right there. Look across the page. Matthew 28, 19. These are the words that he told his disciples. He commanded this. You go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Doing what? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. And what I'm doing this morning is this next line. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even and to the end of the age. What age? The church age. When the church age is over, the tribulation period begins and we go into heaven for the glorious supper of the Lamb, while all hell breaks loose down here on earth with the tribulation period. So I'm teaching you to observe what Jesus told us to observe. And so that's the very last words he spoke. So when you're dying, you're given your last words, they are so, so very important. So we just can't throw these words out, folks, like they don't matter. We can't just ignore the words of Jesus and his modeling these things for us. We grew up on these things. Even in the Catholic Church, they may sprinkle that they believe in baptism. Very important. Now, the Bible tells us over here in Mark, I think, what we just read, that he came up out of the water. Now, if Jesus came up out of the water, that must have meant that he was down in the water. He was under the water. He was deep in the water. And it takes a lot of water to baptize. And so Jesus was under it, and then he came up. And when he came up, something brand new happened for you and me. Resurrection power became up in him. And then the dove came on him. First, his Father's voice spoke and identified with Jesus, because Jesus identified with his Father. And his Father said, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. And then the Holy Ghost came on him in the form of a dove. Why? To empower him to heal the sick, cast out devils, and raise the dead. And so what happened to Jesus there, and I'll prove it to you in the book of Romans shortly, that what happened to Jesus there prophesies of our past, present, and future. It's all lined up. Jesus said it all ready for us. We're all lined up. Now, Jesus identified right there at his baptismal there in the Jordan. He recognized who his Father was in front of all the people, and he identified with him. Now, when we are baptized, we identify that we belong to Jesus. Now, you can go to work and you can say, well, I got saved last Sunday, or I'm going to start serving the Lord now. You can say whatever you want. You can say, I'm just gonna serve him now. I did get born again, but when you say I got baptized, ooh, something goes off. Even the world, even people out in the world, when you say I got baptized, they're like, oh, they believe something has changed in you. Because they know it's powerful and they know it's big. It's just like you guys, you wear a wedding ring. You men and women have wedding rings on. Why do you have that? Immediately, it is a public display that I belong to Roman Garcia. And then he wears his ring to say, I belong to Lola. I mean, that's what he calls her. D. It's a public display that you're married. And if you don't have the ring on, I mean, you go to Save Mart and you're buying groceries. You can look at that person's hand and tell whether they're married or not by the ring. And our actions also display who we belong to. And so we don't wear a ring. We wear a ring around our heart, but we don't wear a physical ring to say, I belong to Jesus. But when we baptize, it's saying publicly in front of some people that I belong, hallelujah, to Jesus. Yeah, it may be a little awkward, but it's okay. I remember when we first founded the church, we were baptizing nearly every week, and Rob and Laura Polish were partners, and they on the Carol's restaurant and what was the hotel? Best Western Hotel. And so, since they were the boss, they said we could come out there and baptize. And so we went out there to the pool of Best Western and baptized many people. Many of you were baptized out there. Now, the Bible does tell us this, that in Mark 16:16, look at this, Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, and he who does not believe will be condemned. So you can be baptized, but if you don't believe, you can just go down a dry sinner, come up a wet one. That was, I know it's an old-fashioned phrase, but if you don't believe, go ahead and get baptized. That wedding ring did not marry you. That's not why you're married. Man, you had a wedding ceremony, a marriage ceremony. The ring is only a sign that I am married. It's a symbol. I am married. Okay, it's what baptism is. So, if you don't believe and you say, that's why I said last week, I'm not going to baptize just anyone that comes in. So, you know, I had a sister one time, and she brought her grandson, and she says, I want you to baptize him. Well, he came to the meeting that morning, and he said there was his head down, and you could tell he was disgruntled, and he didn't like me, and I don't think I liked him either. I'm not sure. But anyway, no, I'm just kidding. I didn't know him. But I said, so, whatever his name was, I said, do you want to get baptized today? And he said, no, I don't. And I said, then why are you here? Because my grandma made me come. I said, who's your grandma? I don't know who it was. I said, well, I'll go talk to her. But I said, I'm not baptizing you today. Why should I let that sweet young man go down a dry center and come up a wet one? It would have just been totally empty. And so baptism doesn't save anyone. But to be obedient, we are baptized. In fact, when Peter was baptizing, he said, you be baptized, Acts 2:38, you be baptized in the name of Jesus for remission of sins. He said, be baptized in the name of Jesus. Jesus said, be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. So we baptize like Jesus, but because we pray over our food in Jesus' name, and because I bless you in Jesus' name, and because we do everything we pray in Jesus' name, why not baptize in Jesus' name? So we baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. We are baptized into Jesus, but we also recognize His Father and Holy Spirit as the ones that spoke at his baptism. Amen. So it actually does testify of our past, our present, and future. How? Oh, turn over to the book of Romans. Let's look at that. And you'll see. Go to Romans, I think, chapter 6. I love the Bible, don't you? It's a word of God, and it's just so full, and it's just got so much. Romans chapter 6, look at verse 3. This can tell you more about God's future plans for us and his present plans for us than I could ever say. So, Romans chapter 3, and we'll probably read down to about verse 11, I'd say. Verse 3, oh, do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? All the things he died for, all the things that went under the blood, he said, so have you. When you were baptized, you were baptized into my death. Therefore, we were buried when he went down in the water. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also who walk in newness of life. So when Jesus came up out of the water, he was the whole baptismal thing that Jesus did was representing his death on the cross, his burial in the tomb, and his resurrection. And the Bible says he came into new life. And so when we are baptized into his death. We are baptized into his burial, and we come up into new life. Now, this gets deeper, okay? Let's read a little bit more. Look at verse 5. For we have been united together in the likeness of his death. Certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Amen. Knowing this, that our old man, look at this, our old man was crucified with him. And the body of sin, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Sin will drive you. I mean, it has a noose around your neck, and it just leads you where sin wants you to go. It just says, go here, and if you're not saved, I'm telling you, and blood bought, you'll just follow that old flesh wherever it wants to go, and it'll take charge. Let me just say this right here. Whatever is the strongest in you has the authority over you. If your spirit is the strongest, it will tell your flesh what to do. If your flesh is the strongest and you feed your flesh constantly on the world and the things of the world, your flesh will be the strongest, and then it will dictate to your spirit what to do. But see, it's our soul that gets us in trouble. Because you got the flesh, you have the soul, and you have the spirit. And over here, your spirit is pulling you, saying, come on, you know the words of God. You know the word. You know there's going to be consequences to that. And your soul, your emotions, your will, it's like, I know. With my spirit, I'm strong. But then the flesh says, look, what's it going to hurt? It's not going to hurt anybody. You know, you're just believing a lie. Come on. It's not going to hurt anything. And so whichever one's the strongest is going to pull your soul that direction. So I'm just saying, church, be careful, seek the Lord, and let him lead you. Because when you were baptized, I want you to know, every one of you that were baptized, you were baptized into the newness of his life. You died from sin at that day. You were buried with him. And in our old church, they used to call the baptismal pool, they would call it a watery grave. I love that word. The Imperials used to sing a song, and it went like this. I'm going down to the river. I'm going to be buried alive. I'm going to tell my heavenly Father, the man I used to be has finally died. A watery grave. The Bible just told us that the old man is buried. He's done away. He's put off. And you who wrote that note earlier said, I'm tired of myself, Pastor. I can't stop this. You may be a visitor or you may be a longtime guest in the house. whatever you're going through, why don't you renew your vow and say, Lord, I want to get baptized. And I want to leave that old man in the water. Baptism's not going to save you, but you're identifying with him. And he says, if you will die and come down into this death with me on the cross and be buried, I'll bring you up into the newness of life. Bring you into a new day. That's how Jesus started his ministry. All right, let me finish. See, I just told you this is too full. How can you even say it? Let me read verse 6 again. Knowing all this, what he just said, that our old man was crucified with him and the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. If you die with him, you've been freed from sin. Now, if we die with Christ, we believe that he shall also live with him. So when we die to the old man, then we live with Christ. It's a whole new life. It's a whole new living. Though I know we got to live in the world, we work in the world, we're a part of the world. Jesus said you are in it, but you are not of it. Jesus didn't say, Father, take them out of the world. I don't even want them out there. No. He said, you guys are going to function in the world, but you will function as my son and daughter. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we'll also live with him. Knowing that Christ, having, verse 9, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. He can't do anything else. Death no longer has dominion over him. So death won't have dominion over Keith. It just can't. It can't keep him. It can't keep him. It can't keep any of us because the grave couldn't hold Jesus. It's not going to hold us. For the death that he died to sin once and for all. For the life that he lives to God. I'm just going to stop there because I could just go ahead and read everything. Now look, we don't really need to have a class on baptism. You don't need to go check into some class. 9:30 Sunday morning, I'm just meeting with some of you and with your whoever you've got to be baptized. I'm meeting with them so they'll know what's going to happen. I remember my cousin in Texas, her daughter, who was a pharmacist, she married an orthopedic surgeon, and the whole family got saved in the Assembly of God Church. And my sweet little cousin's husband says to her, says, Ginger, I think we need to get baptized Sunday. They're going to baptize. And she says, okay. And the pastor said they could, you know, wear decent shorts and a t-shirt. And he goes, oh, no, no. I'm going to wear my suit. The suit I wear to church. I'm going to get baptized in my suit. I said, honey, you can't. You might ruin that suit. He said, are you kidding? I don't care if I ruin that suit. I'm going down with Jesus, man. I'm going to die. I'm going to be buried. I'm going to be resurrected. And I'm telling you, it changed their lives. And then they got my cousin Timmy, who was a veterinarian. He and his wife and whole family got saved, born again, and baptized, and changed their lives. I mean, they're radical for Jesus. Did you hear about the astronaut? He was, oh, I've told you this before, he was a good little Baptist boy, grew up in the Baptist church, but he got too big, you know, and he joined NASA, and he went, you know, he was in space all the time. And so one day he went to church. And see, when the convicting power of the Holy Spirit is in that house, boy, do you have a hard time resisting it. And so there sat this awesome astronaut, probably as rich as anyone in the house or richer. And he just started crying. And you know, in the Baptist church, when they give an altar call, you come up, shake the pastor's hand. So I went up, shook the pastor's hand. And he said, I want to get baptized next week. That astronaut was the only one to get baptized with three little children. A number of four got baptized, him and three little children. But see, it's an humbling experience. You see, truck drivers get saved, and teachers and librarians and people that don't have a job. I mean, it's not one class of people. It's just everybody and all races and all colors and all creeds, and it doesn't, rich or poor, it just doesn't matter where we come from. It's just the same blessing, folks. It's just the same blessing. So let me close with this. You don't need a class. All you got to do is decide to serve Jesus. Just decide, I'm going to love you, Jesus. I'm going to follow you. and I'm going to identify with you. And like the children of Israel, they were in bondage for 400 years. I don't know how long you've been into bondage with whatever's troubling you, but for them, it's 400 years. I mean, it was generations. But see, God knows how to, he knows how to cut and break the chains of generational curses. He got them out of there with his blood. He put the blood over the doorpost. The angel passed over. But see, even an angel of death from hell cannot knock on your door when you have the blood of Jesus over you. He said, put the blood over the door. And then here go the people of Israel. Listen, and they're walking out through that wilderness. They were so happy to be out of that bondage and away from that terror, Herod. He was just such a terror, and it was Egypt. They were just ready to get out of Egypt. And they get out there, and all of a sudden they come to the Red Sea. There's a Red Sea, mountains on both sides. And way back there, they could see Pharaoh's army coming. It's like, oh no, he changed his mind. We were singing that song earlier. Even when I don't see him, he's working. Even when I don't feel it, he's working. But you never stop. You never stop working, Lord. He'll come through. Even though you feel like the mountain's in front of you, and what in the world am I going to do? You got the enemy behind you. You got a mess on both sides. And yet God opened a sea exceedingly abundantly above what they could ask or think. I mean, they couldn't even think this kind of miracle. Listen, the miracle you need, you can't even think that way. You don't have that kind of mentality. We don't, folks, to think of those great miracles. And so here you go. God just opened the sea. They didn't have to walk in the mud. They walked across on dry ground. I mean, it's just so dry. They get across. God, here comes the army. Here comes Pharaoh. Here comes Egypt. Here comes his lunatics with him. And they're chasing the people of God, the man of God, the woman of God. And they get into that dry seabed. And when they do, God unleashed that water. And it killed every one of them. And it says that the horses drowned. The chariots floated. The wheels came off of the chariots. Everything died in that water. And I'm going to tell you today, it is the picture of the baptism of the saints. It's a huge symbolic picture of what we're getting ready to do Sunday. I hope that you'll remember that. That God delivered, see, Egypt and Herod, all of that, all the slavery represented sin in the world to us. But when they got into seabed, it represented the saints. When you got to the other side, it represented that resurrection. Man, we've been called in the newness of life. We're out of all that. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to be saying, thank you, Jesus. It was all over, but God delivered them. And I'll tell you, when we believe in Jesus and you've already been baptized, if you have, then call on it. Jesus, I was baptized. I've got Romans chapter 6. Maybe you didn't know Romans chapter 6 before. Well, if you didn't, you do now. Grab a hold of it. If you want to be, you were baptized, little child, you want to be baptized again, you can do it again. I knew when I got to the Jordan, I wanted to be baptized again. And so you may want to do that. But I'm telling you, Old Testament, they walked through the watery bed. New Testament, we're baptized into blood. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask you to stand on your feet with me this morning. Now may the Lord go with you this week. May he bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he turn his face towards you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, may your home, your children, your life, your marriage be totally protected in the name of the Lord. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being at Landmark today.